Welcome to this presentation from the Downey Seventh-day Adventist Church. We are located in the greater Los Angeles area at 9820 Lakewood Boulevard in Downey, California. We would love to have you worship with us any Saturday you are in our area.
All right, let's pray. Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. As we now take time to open the word, Lord, be with us as we look at this very important beatitude. Be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody know who Annie Penica was? Just that random? Probably don't. Annie Penica was at the time of this writing, it was a 62-year-old woman who had been blind from birth. Okay? Can you imagine going your whole life without the ability to see? At the same time, too, she didn't know any better, so maybe it was a little easier for her. But at the age of 47, she met a man in her Braille class, and they got married. And so for the first 15 years of her marriage, he did the seeing for both of them until he too as well went blind. So imagine never being able to see a tree or a beautiful sunset, the moon, ocean, birds. Fortunately enough, she'd grown in a very loving and very supportive family, so she didn't harbor any resentment about her visual challenges. But then in 1981, a certain doctor performed surgery on her eye to remove a cataract in her left lens. And for the first time, Annie could see. Could you imagine going 62 years of your life and then now you get to see? And what was interesting is she found everything was much bigger and much brighter than she could ever imagined. And since that day, she would wake up with vitality, with what was going to be new today. She looked forward to life, to seeing the morning sunrise, the sunset, the birds, the sky, her family. How often do you think we take the gift of sight for granted? I know I do every day. It's something that's it's a miracle, really. And yet, if you think about it, it's actually even more exciting because think about seeing God. I think about the day when we'll be able to see Jesus' face. Everything that we will have overcome by then. Amen. But we probably can't even compare what Annie must have felt like when she could see for the very first time. The gift of sight. Of clarity. Today, we're going to go through our sixth beatitude, I believe. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will what? They will see God. So, I'd like to go to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. And in Hebrews, what is Hebrews known for, those of you who are a little bit more aware? Faith. It's about faith. Specifically, it's a laundry list of people who exemplified faith. These individuals that the writer talks about, are they perfect human beings? No. We could probably write a few things down for many of them. But in Hebrews 11, the writer shares several things about these individuals. And of course, this doesn't encompass everyone, but it's kind of a hall of fame, if you would say, of believers. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that we might see that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And who is the first person that Hebrews mentions? Abel. Okay. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as what? Righteous, when God spoke well of his offerings. Now, what we know, Abel was what? He was the son of Adam and Eve, so second generation. And he was a nobleman. He did what God asked, gave a sacrifice that God was pleased with. And yet, what happened to him? His brother, his own brother, murdered him. Can you imagine what sin had done already at the very beginning? Just the second generation, not only Adam and Eve, but wrought harmony, death, murder, second generation. Abel was a man of integrity who lived by what God asked of him. We could talk about Enoch as well. But one other specific character in verse 22 is by faith, Joseph. Now it talks about how when his end was near, he talked about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instruction concerning the burial of his bones. But that's really not also why he's in there. It's because did Joseph live an exemplary life? Oh, yeah. Did Joseph always get it right?
No,
he didn't. But there are examples of where he did get it right. Because, for instance, after he'd been sold into slavery, Potiphar, who technically owned him, makes him overseer of his whole household. And he could do whatever he wanted. The only person who was above him in authority was Potiphar. And as he was doing his job, somebody had his eye on him, Mrs. Potiphar. And Mrs. Potiphar, what did she want from him? She wanted him, literally. Ooh. And so he would have to keep his distance. And at one point, she tried to seduce him. And what did he do? He literally left running without some of his garments. Awkward. And so what does she do? She goes and tries to snitch on him to her husband. Now, Potiphar was a man of respect, of reputation, good reputation. Could have done what to him? Could have murdered him, could have executed. That was his job. He was the overseer of the royal court, and he took care of the executions. But he didn't. He threw him in jail, and he kept him in jail. Probably because he didn't believe his wife, but he had to protect his image and his wife to some degree. And Joseph then goes and he lives in prison for years. But guess what? God blessed him because he was faithful and he helped bring up the living situation in the jail, and God blessed him in his job. And eventually he would become what? He would become prime minister of Egypt. The only person above him, Pharaoh. And when Joseph's brothers come to see him, don't recognize that it's him. If Joseph was petty, what could he have done? Just could have locked them all up and left them in there because they sold him out. But he didn't. Now, again, Joseph is dealing with some family issues in that whole scene as well. But yet, he wanted to try to do the right thing. And instead of just throwing him in jail, he sought peace, forgiveness, and redemption. When you continue through Hebrews 11, of course, there's also David. David, was he a perfect guy? No. In fact, if you read Psalm 51, and I think it's Psalm 32, though, even though David was not a perfect man, he did take ownership of his imperfections. And so, yeah, could he have done better? Yes. But in many ways, he knew when he was wrong and he took ownership of it. I also think of, they're not in the list here though, and something that we'll be talking about this week in our small group is Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Bill talked a little bit about that before, because they did not want to compromise their integrity and eat food that would ultimately make them not feel as good, not be able to think as well. And then later on, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they're faced with the plausibility of losing their life, they stood faithfully on God, on their belief in God. So, interesting. Now I want to ask a question, and I'm definitely going to stir some, maybe an awkward conversation on the way home, or maybe lunch conversation. All right, you ready? Raise your hands. The way I act in church is the way I, the same way I act at home, work, school, or wherever I go. All right. Why is it that only one person raised their hand? Because we know that's generally not the truth, right? Why? Because are we perfect? No. All right. Now, listen, I'm going to be honest. I try to be as 100% who I am here in the church, wherever I go. And believe me, I'm way more transparent on the platform now than I ever have been. But what if you're at home and maybe your child does something that you wish they hadn't? Do you always patiently deal with the situation? Or do you sometimes, I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes, do you get upset? When you're at work and your boss puts excessively demanding obligations on your life, do you always want to respond to them in kind? You may not say it out loud, but what's going through your head? All right? Oh. The truth is, sometimes we come to church, sometimes we put little face, little masks on. Sometimes we act like we don't. Now, one of the things I know and I appreciate about this church, though, is one of our values, okay, may not be written up, but we value authenticity. We value realness, okay? And that's one of the things I love about this place, because we love you regardless. All right. But do we always get it right? No, we don't. Believe me, thank God my wife's not here today, because she could she could share all the things I get it wrong at home. All right, because sometimes I forget to take the trash out. Sometimes I may have almost forgotten to pick her up somewhere. I said almost. I was late. She doesn't know that, though, because I've never admitted that. Well, honey, I'm sorry. She doesn't listen to me, though, because I'm her husband. I'm not a perfect person, but I try to be. I try to do the best that I can. Don Flo, CEO of Flo Automotive, he values integrity in his business because he realized, as he was overseeing his own businesses, some of the business practices were not fair to his clients, to, and especially to the poorest of his customers. He could not and did not want to separate the business practices and his personal commitment to faith. So he changed some of these things. And he explains it this way. We have a customer-centric selling process. We don't have the traditional run back and forth negotiating prices process. We have a pricing structure that's set. Our prices are actually a little bit lower because we've been able to manage our costs better with our internal processes. You don't have to be a tough negotiator or more educated to get a fair price. If you got a PhD or a janitor, you'll pay the same price for the vehicle. We did a study and found that the people who typically paid the least for the cars were the most able to pay. Those least able to pay paid the most. For me, it was wrong to take advantage of the least able, a clear violation of a biblical mandate in the book of Proverbs. And we went back and forth and restructured our business. Our profit structure has to be much tighter around the mean, and we have enough to communicate enough value that a person will pay us a fair return. So Don saw that, hey, we're pricing out some of our customers, and that's not fair. They deserve a great product. Okay. Now, they may not get a Lamborghini, but they'll get a fair car, right? And in terms of also service, he wanted to make sure that nobody would get price gouged. Principles, ethics, integrity. God calls us to be faithful followers of Jesus. And that means also living with integrity. Now, love. Guys, when you found that special someone, did love change you? Silence. Oh, come on. When you saw that person from afar off, it spurred you into action. Why, hello, what is your name? Right? It caused you to get to know and see who that beautiful person was. It spurred you to ask, hey, would you like to go out on a date? It did something within you that caused you to move forward with action. It compelled you to ask the person out for dinner. And as you grew together, by the way, those of you who've been married for a certain amount of time, are you the same person who you were when you first met and got married? No, you are completely different. And thank God. Because if you had stayed the same person, if I was still the same person when Lisa and I met, oh, have mercy. You would not want me as your pastor. Okay? I was very immature. Not that I am so mature. I am mature. But even when I got married, I still felt like I was young. And when you've been married, you realize you grow together, much like your relationship with God. When you first met God, are you the same believer when you first met God? No, because you changed, because you developed a relationship with God. Love causes us to change and move forward. So, love and gratitude move us into action. The love that we have for God and the gratitude for what God has done for us spurs us into action to make better choices for our life. If I'm an alcoholic and it causes me to be mean, I need to let go of the bottle because I love my family, not only because I value my life, but because I also value my relationships. If I love my wife, am I going to have an OnlyFans account secretly on my phone? I'm not. Pastor, you went there. Yes. We have to live with integrity in our marriage, as parents, as an employee, as a member of the body of Christ. We have to be faithful and true to what God has called us to do and to be a person of integrity. So as you grow older, you're going to change. God is, as you grow together in relationship with God, you are going to change. Now, one of the things, though, we have to remember, we're all a work in progress. We're all a work in progress. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Okay, we all there? All right. Paul and Timothy, typical opening, servants of Christ Jesus, to all of God's holy people, in some other versions it might mean saints, in Christ Jesus, Philippi, together with the overseers or the deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul and Timothy call the Philippians holy people, or sometimes saints. When the idea of holy people or saints is conjuring up in your mind, what do you think of? What comes to mind? Perfection. Okay. Now, were the saints, the holy people in Philippi, were they perfect? No. Right? Let's keep reading. I thank my God every day, every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for all of you, I pray with joy. Paul deeply cares about these people and he's praying for them. Because of your partnership, this partnership that we have in spreading the gospel from the first day until now, being confident in all in this, okay? It's not passive, being confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What is verse 6 saying? That we're perfect, or no, we're still a work in progress. By God's grace, we have been saved. Amen? But have we reached the end goal? No. Because guess what? We still have plenty of life to live. And that's an opportunity for many years, hopefully, for God to be able to work on our hearts and our minds, to shape us, to mold us, to lead and guide us as disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so just know that what God is calling us to do, it's not something that happens and then you've arrived, but God wants to daily be in relationship with us. God knocks on the hearts of our door every day saying, hey, let me reside with you. Let me help you throughout your day. Saints. We often think, oh, it's Mother Teresa. No, Mother Teresa, faithful woman. God is not calling us to be Mother Teresa. God is calling us to be ourselves. Danny, Philip, Alex, David, Victor, Bill, Vaughn. Because we are all very unique. Imagine if we were all the same. That would not be cool. No diversity. It'll be a bland salad. I don't like bland salad. I like vibrance. I like life. I like color. I like all of the different flavors, from softness to chewy. And that's what church is. I recently read something as well that had me thinking. One of the things, and this is a quote, one of the lies that we tell ourselves is that our sins disqualify us from ministry. We think that because we have made so many horrible decisions in our past life or in the past, that we're not able. But yet, when you look through scripture, how many people were perfect in the Bible and how many people really messed up? We already talked about David, right? Guy was a treacherous fool at many times. And yet, God still considered him a man after my own heart. And all the many beautiful psalms and prayers that he wrote. Samson, did he always get it right? No. Right? His pride got him. In the end, he was faithful. But God does not want us to live with the thought that, oh, I'm just going to quietly and meekly just go through life. No. God wants you to share your story, because your story can be shared by somebody else that can identify and can relate to you. So, go forth. Now, what does it mean to live forward? To be pure of heart, that we may see God. One of the things that I always go back to in all of my questions that I have to ask myself about actions I'm going to take place. And we find it, if you go later to Philippians chapter 4, a couple of chapters over, chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. It says, brothers and sisters, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. That God and the God of peace will be with you. If we choose to focus on the good things of life, to focus on the things that are pure, that are right, that are true, you're going to save yourselves a lot of grief. Amen?
Amen.
Take this passage and apply it to what you watch on TV or on your phone. Are you going to have to make some changes? Ooh. Please, I'm not trying to be judgmental, because listen, I have to do the same thing. I have to ask myself, is what I am watching glorifying God? Is what I'm saying or acting being a representative of Jesus Christ? Do I always get it right? No, I don't. But yet God has called us to be faithful, much like all of the people in Hebrews, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, They were faithful people. So, reflection time. Is there something in my life that is negatively affecting my relationship with God? And if so, what is it? Is there anything in my life that I truly need to maybe think about and need to give up and let go that is hindering my relationship with God? And let's even take it a step further with even my family, my relationships, because our relationships are extremely important. And this week, I want you to seek God's grace and faithfully live to honor God in all aspects of your life, in your work, in your home, as you're driving down the freeway, when somebody cuts you off. Please don't be saying anything or maybe giving sign language. But just say, that person is a child of God, and I'm called to love that person as well. Now, does this just mean that I'm going to let people roll me over? No. Because was Jesus passive? Was he timid? No, quite honestly, he was very firm. But that might mean also setting boundaries and saying, hey, look, I know you're trying to do this, but look, I'm not going to tolerate that. May we love as Jesus loved us. Amen. That's the easiest thing to say and the hardest thing to do sometimes. But that's what God has called us to do. And may we love God with everything this week. Amen? Grace and peace. God, we thank you for your love and your great mercy for us. Today, Lord, it is our greatest desire. Happy are those who are pure in heart. It is truly, Lord, our desire to have a clean, clear thoughts, clean hearts. And above all, Lord, for those who are beaten down and are burdened, Lord, for those who are coming here grieving or feeling that they're not worthy, God, you love them and you know how much you love them. Lord, clear their thoughts of the junk. Lord, do surgery on their hearts that they might find joy and peace and know that you love them. May they leave with conviction and with grace, knowing that they are redeemed and loved and forgiven. God, for those who've been in a while, Lord, protect us from our pride. Humble us and know that we're not perfect. And may we together, Lord, as a body of the followers of Jesus, may we make an impact here, not only in Downey, but wherever we go, that also others may know who you are, be saved by you, and also go out and share the good news. And above all, Lord, we ask, please come soon. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, don't go away real quick. Hold on.